Today is the 14th of February, and most of us know this day as Valentine's Day. Tradition has it that Valentius was a bishop in the church during the reign of Claudius II. Claudius was only the Roman emperor for a two-year period from 268 until 270. But during that time, he did not want married men to go into the army, so he forbid the marriage of any young men. Valentius refused to obey and continued to marry those who were in love. He was executed because he disobeyed the emperor in 270. And in 496, Pope Gelasius made Valentius a saint and set the 14th day of February to honor him and all those who enjoyed being in love. Helen Ely begins our worship this day with our organ prelude. Please join me in prayer. Holy God, today we think about the love that is in the world, the love that we have for one another, and the love that we have for you. And as we think about this, help open up our hearts to experience the love you have for each one of us as we join in this worship this day. Amen. The poem from which our next song is based was written by Frederick Whitfield, who was an Anglican pastor. It first appeared in the mid-1850s, but it was not put with a melody until the camp meeting period in America in the late 1800s, and it was used by evangelist Dwight Moody from the Chicago area. The song is titled, Oh, How I Love Jesus. Please join our TPC choir as they lead us in this song. Our scripture today is taken from the first epistle letter in the New Testament, and it was written by none other than the Apostle Paul to the followers in Rome. This is the same Rome where Paul returned and was eventually executed by Nero, and it's the same Rome that executed the founder of St. Valentine's Day. Listen to what Paul has to teach us on this day. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. May God bless the reading of God's word to us this day. Amen. Chris Tomlin is one of the most prolific writers of contemporary Christian music. In this song, which features our music director, Jeff Prince, Tomlin speaks about the blood which Jesus shed for our sins and the blood which ran from the cross. It would be a sign and a seal of just how much God loves us. Please join us in At the Cross, Love Ran Red.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life.
Will you pray with me? May the words that now come from my mouth and the meditation that falls on all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight and remind us today that you are our rock and our salvation. Amen. As many of you know, I love to cook, and in particular, Italian food. I learned from my mom, and from her mom, my grandma Laurenti. I also like to joke that Italians love to cook spaghetti, but not as a meal, just as a side dish. When Jackie and I got married some 17 plus years ago, I would quickly find out that she loved to cook as well. And she was a good Southern cook. Lots of fried stuff. Okay, an Italian that loves starch and sugar and a Southerner that loved fried foods. We should be a heart attack waiting to happen, at least from our cooking backgrounds. Most of the time, both of us cook from memory. We both grew up cooking with parents that never measured anything. They just knew how much to add and how much not to add. And so they could never tell you exact measurements. They would just show you what to do. In fact, it's a little comical when we have to follow a printed recipe because I find that both of us tend to stray from the printed recipe and add our own touches. One of the instructions that you commonly find on a recipe is when it comes to using eggs, and the instruction reads, separate two eggs. I've always found that a bit of an interesting assignment. Of course, those who are cooking connoisseurs know exactly what that means. It means to somehow separate the yellow yolk from the rest of the clear liquid in the egg, which is called the egg white, even though it's naturally clear. There are several ways to do that, and the reason is because some recipes call for you to use that yellow center for the making of custard, for example, and use the white for meringue. Some things are supposed to be used separately. On the other hand, in cooking, some things are supposed to be together, but they naturally don't go together. For example, some salad dressings call for the base to be oil and vinegar, and for those two, they never really mix up together because they want to stay separated. Other things you have to heat before they can come together. They're naturally just separated. Well, now that I've made you good and hungry on this Sunday morning, where am I going with all of this? Well, normally in life, we tend to like things together and not separated. In fact, we have a term we use when living things are no longer together but apart. It's called separation anxiety. It even happens with our pets. Our dog Duke is used to me being gone, but if he sees both Jackie and I packing our suitcases, he gets anxious. One time we had to let him out the back so we could take our suitcases out the front so he wouldn't see us putting the suitcases in the car. I think all parents experience this when they take their first child to college for the very first time, and they're about to leave them in that dorm. There is, in that situation, a little anxiety. We learn over time, though, that even though we are separated by space and by time, one thing that does not separate us is the love that we have for one another. That seems to be constant. It doesn't separate from us. It has a way of stretching over the gap. Paul talks about God's love in our reading for today. This, of course, being February the 14th and traditionally what we call Valentine's Day, a day we take time to remember the loved ones and the ones who love us in the world, Paul looks at God's love for us. He begins with something that is what we call a foundation in God's love. It's that God's love is so powerful, so constant, that in fact nothing can separate us from God's love. That is the love we find in Jesus Christ. Paul uses a writing style typically of his period called antithesis. He compares two opposites. In talking about not being able to separate this love from God, Paul mentions height and depth, present and future, angels and demons. Paul even uses life and the end of life as we know it called death. Being anywhere at all, even all the way to the opposite of one to the opposite of the other, cannot make God's love become separated from us. In the earlier part of our reading, Paul makes the conclusion that this inability of God's love to be separated from us makes us more than conquerors. I want to think today, on this day that we remember love in the world, of God's inseparable love for us, and exactly what does that mean for us? First, it reiterates the fact that God's love for us is unconditional. That means there's no place we can go or nothing we can do that can stop God from loving us. God does not love us on a day-to-day choice. God simply unconditionally loves us. The opposite of unconditional love is what we call covenant love. This is when we agree to love and we're willing to be bound by some sort of contract. But you see, the contract contains two parties, and the contract always allows an out if one or the other fails to live up to the contract. What a blessing it is for us to read the following: "But God demonstrates his own love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That's another place in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. If God's love for us were a covenant or a contract, we'd have to first stop being sinners. Or if we entered this contract with God, if we ever sinned again, God's love would be gone. But that's not how God's love works. And we know there's nothing we can do and no place we can go where this love from God will not be there with us. Second, it reminds us just how powerful God's love is for us. Not only is God's love unconditional, but it is more powerful than anything else we can experience. Here's an example of powerful love. Karen and her husband just found out the great news that they were pregnant with their second child. They shared the excitement with their Methodist congregation in Tennessee. They already had a 5-year-old, so as mom was going through the pregnancy, she was trying to explain to her son what was happening and that he would have soon a little sister. In his own innocent way, one day, he told his mom that he loved his little sister and he was wondering how he might let her know even before she was born. The mother suggested he sing to her, and that's what he did each night. He'd sit on her lap and he'd sing to her ever-increasing stomach. The day came for the newborn's arrival into the world. The delivery was complicated, and the infant girl would be placed in the neonatal unit. And as each day passed, instead of getting better, the infant grew worse. Each day, her older brother asked when he could come and see her and let her know that he really loved her. Eventually, the doctors, frustrated that everything they tried didn't work, explained that they were running out of options and the family might need to prepare for a funeral. The brother kept asking to see his sister, but no children were allowed in the neonatal unit. But you know what? That didn't stop Karen. She decided one day to sneak her son in to see his sister. When he saw his sister all hooked up with all those tubes and wires, he asked how she knows if I love her. In that moment, his mother suggested that he simply sing to her, as he had done all those nights before. So without hesitation, he began, "You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray." As he began to sing, the most amazing miracle took place. Her monitors began to respond. Her breathing became stable. Her blood pressure returned to normal. She began to move and her eyes opened. He kept on singing and she kept on getting better. A week later, little sister came home and began a normal, healthy life. This is the power of human love. But perhaps it's more than that. Perhaps it's the power of God's love coming through humans. God's love is unconditional, God's love is powerful, and finally, God's love makes us complete. When I'm counseling couples who I'm about to marry, during one of those meetings, I have them complete what's called a Myers-Briggs personality test. This is a well-known and well-supported test that determines 4 important characteristics of your personality. What I then do, based upon the strength of each one's personality trait, is to encourage them to find ways to complement and complete one another. When the characteristics are the same, it's easy, but when they are opposite, it will take some work. The important thing is that for their love to have a staying power, they must learn to complement and complete one another. God's love, the love which cannot be separated by anything, will, if we allow it, complement and complete our personality no matter who we are. God's love allows us to be who God created us to be, but it also allows us to recognize that we're a child of God, and that makes us connected to God. That connection, that unconditional power, that complete love God has for us will take us on a journey that will make us more than conquerors. Joshua Haber was raised in a Jewish home. At the age of 17, he began a love of playing with a deck of cards. He would soon learn to play all sorts of card games, including learning how to gamble. That's the age where scientists tell us that about half of all those with a gambling addiction start learning to gamble. He played the game for over a dozen years. He lost all of his money, all of his property, and then he got addicted to drugs and alcohol because it helped him deal with the gambling losses better. He tried several means of dealing with this demon, but nothing seemed to work. The demon had separated him from his friends and family and from life as we know it, until eventually he became what many become in this situation, suicidal. Life has a way of separating us. But one night he walked into a church meeting. He had run out of options. Something led him there, and during that meeting he discovered that God had not abandoned him, and God's love could not be separated from him, no matter how addicted he had become. As he was praying, he would later share that he saw a vision of angels coming from heaven, all with wings, and they grabbed him and took him to a new place. For Joshua, it was God's inseparable love that made him more than a conqueror. Today, he still faces addiction every day. It tugs at him, pulls at him, coaxes him, makes him think if he just gives in, things will be better. But then each day, he recognizes God's love in his life, and in the power of that love, God keeps him walking a path of faith and a path that's complete. We recognize love on this 14th day of February. We think about family and friends and how they might love us. Today, I hope for a moment you will recognize God's love in your life. It is something that cannot be separated. It is unconditional, powerful, and will make your life complete. May you, in your mind today, no matter what struggle or what demons you face, open that Valentine card from God that simply says in bold and beautiful ways, I love you. Amen and amen. This is the Sunday morning radio worship of the Third Presbyterian Church in the Enos Park neighborhood of Springfield, Illinois. We broadcast each week on Sports Radio 1450 AM and 92.3 FM. Thank you for listening. If you're a longtime listener, well, welcome back. And if you're a first-time listener, we hope you'll join us each Sunday morning. We're back to in-person worship at TPC. Our service begins at 10 o'clock in the morning. Today, the sermon stays with the theme of love and is titled, Home is Where the Heart Is. Please join us or watch us on our service posted on Facebook on Monday or Tuesday of the next week. Philip Bliss was born to an extremely poor family and grew up on a farm in Pennsylvania. After receiving some music talent, because his talent was obvious in that area, he quickly rose to prominence and joined the Dwight Moody Evangelism Program. One night after hearing the song we sang earlier, Oh, How I Love Jesus, he was inspired to write the song that we're about to sing, titled Jesus Loves Even Me. In 1876, Bliss and his wife were tragically killed in a train accident. Witnesses observed that Bliss survived the crash, but was killed in the ensuing fire as he went back into the train to rescue others, including attempting to rescue his wife. Please join our TPC choir as they lead us in Jesus Loves Even Me. Please pray with me. Holy God, the scriptures teach us that you are love, and that your love for us will make us perfect or complete. Your love not only heals us and provides for us, but it allows us to love one another in better, healing, and more complete ways. Help us replace our negative feelings with your inseparable love. Remind us that in the most difficult of our moments in our days, that we are never far away from your love, and in your love, we can engage in the power to overcome and to succeed. Help the world to replace hate with love, fear with perfect love, and uncertainty with your unconditional love. Remind us not only with our words, but with our actions, that we are to demonstrate this love to one another and to all others in and around us in the world. Comfort those on this day who are searching for love and who face a loss of a loved one. Let your voice in the silence of these moments in life sing in spiritual ways that all may experience your love. Let your love shine in all of us. In the name of Jesus, who loved us and died for us and rose again for us, for our victory, we pray. Amen. Kirk Kaiser was way ahead of his time as he brought new music to the church in the 60s and 70s. Kurt left this earth 3 years ago, but the music he brought will be celebrated in the church for years and years to come. One of his songs was titled, Oh, How He Loves You and Me. We bring in our TPC a cappella team for our sending song this day as they bring you the Kurt Kaiser song from 1975.
Oh, how he loves you.
May the grace of God, the love of Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit fill your hearts and guide your steps today and tomorrow. Amen. May you be blessed in love on this Valentine's Day. Thank you for listening, and we could not do this radio show without the labor of love of those who contribute so much. Thanks to Helen Ely, our church organist, to Jeff Prince, our music director, to the TPC choir, the TPC praise team, and the a cappella singers, to our production manager, Seth Hood, and our recording manager, Scott Humphreys. Also, thanks to Daquan Stamps, who assists in our production, and to Matt Miller, who makes everything sound great in post-production. I'm the Reverend Dr. John Shear, and I continue as the pastor of TPC. So have a blessed week, and remember, as always, stay safe out there.